have a preview of Thursday's Skagway Assembly meeting, and an author and photographer explores the salmon in the trees. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday evening. On the agenda is an ordinance that would amend the fire protection requirements for Skagway buildings. The ordinance would also establish a grant program for installing fire sprinkler systems in commercial buildings. The Assembly will also discuss ordinances that would amend some parts of the Municipal Code on historic district regulations. The Assembly will take up an item previously postponed, a resolution authorizing Temsco Helicopters and the Skagway Terminal Company to enter into a license to use agreement. And the Assembly will consider a resolution declaring a sales tax holiday between November 1st and March 31st of next year, as it does every year. Under new business, the Assembly will consider a proposal from the McDowell Group to conduct a marine highway study. The Skagway Ad Hoc Marine Highway Committee worked with McDowell to draw up a proposed study that would analyze schedules, routes, and traffic forecasts in the Northern Lynn Canal and costs to users and the state. The McDowell Group estimates the study will cost about $10,000. The Assembly will also consider the approval of two draft letters from the Skagway Port Commission. One letter is to Senator Mark Begich, asking the senator to help identify federal funding sources the borough may be able to access or apply for to help with the ore dock improvement project. The commission is also responding to the Dye Management Group regarding a mine-related traffic study review. Dye Management conducted a study on mine-related traffic between Canada and Southeast Alaska ports. The Assembly will also consider a proposal from Skagway School Superintendent Dr. Jeffrey Thielbar for using federal Secure Rural School Act funds. Thielbar proposes directing the $445,000 in federal funds the Finance Committee recently discovered it still had on hand to a special revenue account. The superintendent said the school board decided it would like to use the funds to recruit a teacher in the position they could guarantee for 5 years. The Assembly also plans to discuss three items in executive session: the ongoing lease negotiations with both Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and White Pass Railroad. The group also plans to discuss a freight rail restart proposal, an item that came up at a special assembly meeting last week. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. It was about 5 years ago that Amy Gulick read a dry scientific article about a little something called nitrogen-15. Gulick doesn't remember the name of the author or publication, but the concept fascinated her.
That concept it was so strange and unexpected, and it just wouldn't leave my head. And so I knew that I had to come here and photograph this and tell this unique story.
The idea prompted Gulick's book titled Salmon in the Trees. She's in Haines this week sharing her project through presentations, a photo exhibit, and outings around the community. The project focuses on how Southeast Alaska forests, salmon, wildlife, and people are all intertwined, and how salmon are literally in the trees. Gulick explains.
When salmon leave the ocean and they return to their birth streams to spawn, they're bringing all these ocean nutrients with them in their bodies. And then all the bears in this area, and this part of the world has some of the highest densities of both brown and black bears. All the bears, they're eager, they're hungry, they're waiting for these salmon to come in. And so they head down to all the streams, they pluck the salmon from the streams, and then they drag and drop them out into the forest.
This interaction takes place thousands of times each season between bears and fish around more than 4,000 spawning streams throughout Southeast.
And over time, all the nutrients from the bodies of those salmon decompose into the forest floor, and the trees absorb them through their roots. And this connection, this remarkable connection, comes in. So scientists have actually been able to trace a particular form of marine nitrogen. It's called nitrogen-15, and it comes from the ocean. They've been able to trace nitrogen-15 in trees near these salmon streams if they can link back to the fish. So that's how salmon actually end up in the trees.
Gulick is not Alaskan. She lives in Washington State. But that only reinforced her interest in the subject of Alaska forest and salmon. Washington State used to have a strong salmon connection with the economy and livelihood of fishing and as a resource. But several factors have contributed to the depletion of those lower 48 salmon runs and the decline of salmon as part of the livelihood for wildlife and people there. But in Alaska, Gulick says that connection is still going strong.
coming up here and seeing this all just, not only is this connection still intact, but it's thriving.
Gulick uses a variety of voices in her book. Different people have contributed essays about the history of forest and salmon, of the science behind the ecology, and the importance of the environment and resources in Native culture. Ketchikan artist Ray Troll illustrated the book. Richard Nelson from Sitka produced an audio recording to accompany the book. And Gulick spent 6 months photographing the region. She captured more than 10,000 images. 160 of those appear in the book, and 15 photos are featured in a traveling exhibit. Gulick travels throughout the U.S. with her book and exhibit. She said people in places like Chicago and St. Louis enjoy the project because of the Alaska mystique. They enjoy reading and hearing about places that are still wild and where people are still tied to the land. But in Alaska, she said the response is even more rewarding.
To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. Why? It's like, basically, I'm celebrating this incredible place and the peoples who live here, their place in it. And what an incredible way of life that they live. And who doesn't really want to hear how great they are and their home is and this great way of life that they're living?
Gulick has encountered something new in Haines with her presentation, the labeling of her book and presentation as controversial. She's spoken at several schools in Southeast, and the U.S. Forest Service and other agencies have sponsored her presentations. But the Haines School decided against having Gulick present to a school-wide assembly. School Board Chair Carol Kelly said in a recent school board meeting that Gulick's work falls under the controversial issues policy at the school because it could be construed as pro-conservation or anti-development. The school administration instead is allowing Gulick to present to individual classes if it ties in with the curriculum. Gulick says it's the first time she's encountered this type of objection to her project.
You know, everywhere I've traveled, whether it's in the lower 48 or throughout Southeast Alaska, in like other parts of Alaska, say Anchorage or kind of more interior, you know, not once have I ever had anybody object, you know, to the book, to the story I'm trying to tell.
But she said she knew when she delved into the subject of the Tongass National Forest that some controversy could arise. The Tongass, as the nation's largest designated national forest, has been the subject of several debates over the years, including logging, road and access issues, and the proposed transfer of some of the public lands to Alaska Native corporations. But Gulick said she purposely tried to steer clear of politicizing the Tongass in her project.
So when I was actually writing the book and developing the book and really trying to figure out, okay, what topics are we going to cover, I quickly realized that I didn't want to tell the story of what's wrong with the Tongass, because that story has been told many, many times. And I didn't see really the point in bringing up that old story and dredging up old feelings. So my intent has always been to tell the story of what's right with the Tongass, because to me, that's kind of the story that was never getting told. You know, it was always this divisiveness and this fighting, you know, over, you know, what are we going to do with this forest?
As she travels around the country, and especially Southeast, she's often fed salmon during her visits, in a nod to her book and project. On Monday, she had grilled salmon during a dinner party. Tuesday, she ate salmon with the lunch crowd at the senior center. And there's sure to be plenty of salmon in all forms at a potluck and presentation Thursday night at Harriet Hall. So, while it's one of the main subjects of her project, we had to ask, does she ever get sick of eating it?
It's funny that you would ask me that question, because I always ask Southeast Alaskans that question. It's like, do you ever get tired of eating salmon? You know, thinking that people would just be like, yes, oh my God, we get so sick of it. Not one person has answered that question with yes. Nobody. And actually, like, it's an emphatic no. You know, no. How could you ever get sick of salmon? So, no, I never get tired of it. And the thing I love about coming to Alaska and eating salmon in the homes of Alaskans is they're never going to serve you bad salmon.
While her book has been out now for more than 2 years, Gulick said she considers it an ongoing project.
And my thought was always, I kind of thought that my job really began when the book came out. Because it's like, okay, here we've got this incredible story, this incredible place, but if no one really knows about it, then, you know, really, what good is the story? So I've spent the last probably 2.5 years since the book has come out, you know, traveling as much as I can, just helping spread this incredible message.
Local resident Carol Tyneman was the driving force behind bringing Gulick to Haines, along with about 20 local business and agency partners. Besides speaking to classes at the Senior Center, the American Bald Eagle Foundation, and joining in some photography tours, there are two main public events the community is invited to. The first is Thursday night with a potluck and presentation at Harriet Hall beginning at 7 p.m. The other is the opening of Gulick's photography exhibit at the Sheldon Museum on Saturday at 2. For a complete list of events with Gulick, visit 7echoes.org or salmoninthetrees, all one word, .org. We've also linked to the calendar of events on our website at khns.org. And a reminder that Talk Around Town airs this week, Thursday at 10 a.m. with host Deborah Schnabel. This week, Deborah and her guests will discuss the talking topic, controversy. Does it breed critical thinking? She'll also check in with Pam Randles of the Tokchinook Watershed Council about invasive species. That's Talk Around Town on Thursday at 10 a.m. on KHNS. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.